every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the outdoor living hour of Rosie on the House, second Saturday of the month. So we have ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower from Save a Tree in the studio talking trees. We always have a tree of the month and a weekly to-do, our monthly to-do for your trees. But before we get to that, I want to talk about leaf peepers. Have you ever been a leaf peeper, John?
A leaf peeper?
A leaf peeper.
I might have been a leaf peeper from time to time.
It's something I learned from John Harper, who will be in next Saturday in this hour. It's a big industry in the Pacific Northwest where we have snowbirds that come down here to get away from the snow. There's people from the southern region of America that go up to Maine, Connecticut, Vermont in the fall to look at all the color changing.
The leaves, and they call them leaf peepers.
Leaf peepers. So a big tourist industry in the Northwest. Well, did you know you don't have to go to Connecticut or Maine to be a leaf peeper? In fact, you don't even have to leave the great state of Arizona. You can simply go to flagstaffarizona.org and click on their leaf-o-meter, and it will break down by specific regions in our mountain areas. Flagstaff, the Arboretum, they've got a monitor at Snowbull, the Inner Basin, Oak Creek Canyon, and Sedona. And it will tell you where the leaf color is by each region. So you could go see, and they're all pretty much peaked right now at red just before the fall off. So beautiful time to drive up to the mountains and view a little bit of leaf peeping.
Yeah, the leaf peeping in the desert southwest or even the mountain southwest is lagging a couple of months behind the rest of the country, whereas Vermont, New Hampshire would have their leaf drop in September, October. We're having ours in November, December. So we were a couple of months behind the rest of the country. But it's kind of cool that we've got our own fall colors and we can go up and enjoy them at a different time of year. Sort of instead of having fall colors, we kind of have winter colors, at least in the desert southwest. And this time of year in the Phoenix area, you don't see much leaf drop at all right now. It's amazing. I mean, the trees are persisting. This has been one of those summers that's pushed the fall even later, and everything seems to be just a couple of weeks behind. We were doing some overseeding of lawns later than we've ever done it because we had this, a forecast for another week of nice warm temperatures. So we said, well, hey, there's still a lawn or two to do. So we did some overseeding late into November, which is real unusual for you to be able to do that at all. And here we have a lot of trees that normally would be showing some fall colors are still green. It's amazing. It might not be until January. Someone was saying, will my tree ever drop its leaves? Interestingly, some trees are called semi-deciduous in that they, depending on the year, sometimes keep their leaves all year. And they'll drop them suddenly. And sometimes as late as January, February, and put on new leaves within a week. They'll just kind of dump all the old ones and put on the new ones immediately.
I have seen that on a few of ours where you keep thinking, well, maybe they're not going to lose at all. And then you come around the next day and they're all on the ground. You're like, oh my gosh, did my tree just die? But like you said, you watch closely on the limbs and you can see the new buds coming out real quick.
Yeah, but sometimes we'll get a little earlier cold snap and that'll kind of trigger that abscisic acid moving in the plants. That's the hormone that's responsible for causing those leaves to abscise and drop to the ground. And sometimes that'll happen earlier in some years, others not. But some of our real showy trees are our pecans, the pistache, and then that red push pistache is real popular. And then of course, we have our fruit trees, including our purple leaf plum.
And while you mentioned that red push, that comes up almost every Saturday for probably the past quarter. We've talked about it a few times. We've had when you had a panel in earlier this year, and everybody recommended to this one homeowner in the top three. They all picked out a red push as one of those to consider. It comes up constantly.
Well, it's such an amazing tree. It's a showcase tree, you know, that where if you want some fall color, that's probably your top ticket item. If you want to get one of that accent tree that you want in your yard, you may not have a lot of other deciduous trees. We have some mulberries and then of course a bunch of stone fruits. So we've got some various colored trees, but that one's pretty dramatic, and it's kind of cool to have one if you don't have a deciduous tree. That or a purple leaf plum are kind of this nice scarlet purple tree. So they actually act as sort of an accent tree. If you've got a yard full of green and yellow leafed trees, it's kind of nice to have a red mixed in there, and that purple leaf plum and the red push pistache kind of answer that call.
And the reason they call it a red push is in the springtime, when it's pushing on its new growth, all the new growth is red. You've got the green from last year or, previous year, but this year's growth is red. So you've got almost like a red and green Christmas colors in the springtime.
Yeah, and then those leaves, as they mature, then they turn a full green color. But yeah, and that early juvenile growth is kind of that multicolored. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, let's get to our tree of the month. I've kind of distracted us talking tree color and fall drop. And
well, it's a great segue, because the tree of the month is the Brahia armata. It's the Mexican blue fan palm. And the blue is really the key word there, because it's a very amazing fan palm that has a blue-green tint to it. It's sometimes even a light blue. And they're just really unique in the landscape. I listed it as a tree of the month this year because I like it a lot. It's got so many cool characteristics. You have so many Washingtonia varieties. You got the Washingtonia Robusta, which is the Mexican fan palm, the Washingtonia Filifera, which is the California fan palm. And they're the typical palms you see all over town, the skinny ones and then the fat ones. And those Washingtonias have a very dark green leaf, and a classic palm tree leaf color. In contrast, the Mexican blues have a blue leaf cast, and they're just unique. If you can get one in your yard, they're a really nice addition to a mesic landscape and even a desert landscape. They're really drought tolerant, just like our others. They're a different genus, but they're really, really, really nice. The one drawback is that they're slow growing. Don't expect them to shoot up, 3 feet a year like our Mexican fan palms can do. These are going to be more like about 6 or 8 inches a year. So you'll have to be patient. If you want a pretty nice larger one in your landscape, better to buy a larger tree, a larger box specimen, and you won't be disappointed. The other unique characteristic to these palms is they have this amazing flower stalk that pushes out, and it's really glorious. It's these beautiful cream colored flowers, and these big draping plumes of flowers. It's a really amazing floral display, which you don't see in the Mexican fan palms. So
this one's the Mexican blue fan palm.
Yeah, and we'll try to get something up on the Rosie website here today. So if you want to take a look at a really cool specimen, check out your website a little later today.
And you said they were slow growing 6 to 8 inches. So the picture you sent us, I mean, these trees are
pretty mature,
probably 20, 30 years old.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, inquiring minds, want to know things. So, has there been any kind of testing of the fermenting of a blue Mexican fan palm? Because a blue agave fermenting, it can have a lot of, benefits. Have we ever tried anything with the Mexican blue fan palm?
No, but it's amazing. I did read something, and I can't recall what it was, but the fruit, once the flowers of the palm trees mature, they produce a little berry and a fruit. And I believe that the blue Mexican blue fan palm actually does have some medicinal value. But no, they're, of course, the palm heart, has to be, the only way you can get palm heart is to kill a palm tree to get to it. And we do, from time to time, have to remove some palm trees. And any one of the Washingtonia species, the California or the Mexican fan palm, produce a really nice heart of palm, and we can cut it out and cut around it, and then even with our chainsaw, carefully cut down into that center of the tree, and we've enjoyed a nice little hors d'oeuvre before our lunch from time to time out on the job site, cutting out palm heart and having a little meal. It's really quite good.
But like you said, that's only at the time where you've got to remove it. You can't eat and keep the tree alive.
Yeah, you can't keep the tree alive. Yeah.
It's not like syrup coming out of a tree.
Destructive testing, yeah.
Now, I've got a question for you, John, from this new trivia card game you left at the office this week. It's a card game that Save a Tree put together to test your tree knowledge, and it can be played up to four players. Well, on palm trees, I've got a true or false question for you. Palm trees are more closely related to trees than to grass. True or false?
A palm is a grass. It's really not a tree. But, you know, some could argue, you know, that it meets all the qualifications of the definition of a tree. But genetically, it really is more closely related to grass.
So are your arborists required to play trivia, like for 30 minutes every morning before they go out?
It's a brand new game. I haven't even had a chance to look through all the questions. I'm so excited to look at it because they've been boxed up as gifts for us to give to some of our customers. And it's a great new game. So hopefully it'll be widely distributed.
And I understand that you even have a couple of questions
submitted. Yep, there's some of mine in there too.
Cool. Well, we'll have to see about maybe talking trees in 2021, having a deck to give out every week to a listener.
That'd be nice.
For
yeah.
some kind
or,
of
or definitely have a little trivia question every week, you know, to our listeners. Maybe we could throw out a few other and see if we can get a few responses back in with some correct answers. That'd be cool.
We are talking trees with ISA-certified arborist John Eisenhower. We'll be back right after this.